I enjoy these little talks that are for the children, because I think we can all get a hold of that, and maybe tonight we'll go in a little deeper for the adults. The assignment I have tonight is a current issue in today's world, and I'm not going to be able, it's a huge subject, it's getting larger as it evolves. And I'm only going to try to unpack tonight in some way that we can maybe get it. And then maybe I will end with a few influences that seem to me like are happening both in our world and, well, we'll just talk about that. I am not going to be able tonight to understand or unpack all the subtle undercurrents that's happening with wokeism, and I agreed to speak on the subject. I agreed to speak on wokeism, but I didn't know I was to talk about its influences, so that caught me somewhat sideways. And while I have indeed read sources in the past, I have chosen to purposely avoid sources in this presentation, except this. I will not be quoting sources. I did listen to Nolan's presentation. He's the other that is speaking on the subject, and I learned from it. It was good. I recommend that you listen to it, because he does cover more intricate worldview details of this subject than I intend to tonight. He also makes some valuable key points that I intentionally avoided tonight, and he covers the psychological core aspects of this thing that's going on in the world in which you live, but I am purposely also avoiding those in lieu of core issues, and also to stay inside of my time constraints so that I can cut to the chase from my opinion. So while many of our thoughts intersect, my focus and end is somewhat different than his. Not really, but they cross back and forth. So I found that interesting. This is my first time out on this, and I decided this morning to listen to what he had to say. And I thought that was interesting. I want to begin reading in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah was a prophet of God, and the children of Israel had strayed far from God, and he was rebuking them. And I'm in chapter 5, verse 20, to begin here this evening. Woe unto them that call, I'm in verse 20 of chapter 5 of Isaiah. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out in vengeance. Added a word there on the end. For as it were in the days of Noah, so will be cut the coming of the Son of Man. It's recorded of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24. Wokeism is the outworking of Jesus' prophecy that is to happen previous to his return. And now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll read a number of verses there, and I'd like for you to open your Bibles there if you can and read there. And I'm going to read from the English Standard Version because the words are a little more modern and maybe can connect to our language a little better. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self. Anything about selfies? Lovers of money. It's covetousness. Proud. Arrogant. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. There's a lot of broken, inordinate home situations going on. Ungrateful. Unholy. Heartless. Unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit or pride, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 9, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. And referring back, verses there that I missed, and he talks about Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses. And that is, he stood up against the word of Moses. And the Bible does not unpack very much to us about these two men at all, except that they were defined in these scriptures as against God. And these two men illustrate these conditions of which Paul writes to the church and to Timothy particularly. These two men illustrate the conditions of which Paul writes will be prevalent in the end times just before the return of Jesus Christ. And so I want to take those verses and keep them in mind as we go along. And I'd like to first summarize and, like we say, boil the thing down into very concise takeaway so that we can understand it. It's complicated. It has become more complicated. But I like to just boil it down into some takeaways. And then I like to take that and unpack it just a little bit and look at a few of the pieces of this modern humanistic issue of wokeism. And third, I will suggest a few concerning inroads of possible carefulness for the Anabaptist Church and perhaps particularly for PMC. And one, wokeism is an ism. It's an ism. When you add ism to a verb, you get a noun. There's many, many isms. In this case, wokeism is a noun and a god, lowercase g. That is, it is a religion. It is a faith religion in the sense that it is faith in man and his ways and his accomplishments to replace the ways of God. Here's a source verse. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. The Hebrew word significance here is that not only was it man's imagination, but his purposes and his desires continually, day after day, were anti-God, in defiance of God. There's every day the thoughts of the culture in Noah's day was against God, in the face of God, defiant against God, opposed to God, as in opposition to faith and trust in God. Wokeism is an ism. Wokeism is a satanic faith, but a faith nonetheless. See, approximately 350 years after that Genesis 6 account, about 350 years later, we're in Genesis chapter 11, I believe it is, about 350 years later, and a flood which destroyed the whole world and all the souls in it except eight that came in between there. Now we're in Genesis chapter 11, and that same satanic imagination that was opposed to God regrew. And again, I'll quote source scriptures. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, let us make brick. Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And that they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men had built it. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, God said, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them from abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. That is, God determined in his foreknowledge and almighty wisdom that one of the ways that sin would be controlled and held back in the centuries to come up until today, one of the ways God in his almighty wisdom decided to control sin was that he would create languages, races, social separations, economic diversity, etc. And then just one chapter further, this in this diversity which God in his almighty wisdom determined for sinful humanity that was going to live on planet Earth, I again quote source scriptures from Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, Haran, and Haran begat Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren and had no child, and Terah took Abram his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto land that I will show thee, and I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That is, God used races to bring about his plan for salvation. And God determined that to control evil on planet Earth, he would have racial inequality. as it concerns the affairs of this world and its governments. And he set up social and racial realms. And if you want to read further, you can find in Genesis, Romans 9, 10, 11, how this race of people that came out of Abraham, you can find there how this race of people which God deemed to set up intersects and fits you and I as a Gentile. They are more important than you. And God did that. God did that. I did not upset racial and social orders. God did. And I only accept it, while I cannot understand it, as the wisdom of God until he comes and it's his day and he takes over the earth to restore it again in his way. Now, I know that what I just presented is pregnant with controversy. Unless we understand the scriptures and believe in a holy God. I am well aware of what I just said. But God did it. I didn't do it. And it was God's way of controlling sin on planet Earth. Now, this faith in wokeism has been developing and insurging in ways since these days until the present, but the pressures and the involvements and the global package is only increasing. Sometimes subduing, other times, but the travel is always up. So I know this is hard for us to understand because we always attribute faith and trust to God, but wokeism is a religion of its own. It is faith and trust in the ways of man in opposition to the ways of God. It calls good evil and evil good. It's flipping issues, flipping moral values, flipping the laws of God, one after another. Please stay with me. The last few years of your life, wokeism and what it is has taken leaps and bounds that are astounding. Because what was once confined to individual specific regions, thought patterns, concepts, beliefs, peoples, kings, kingdoms, what was once contained in geographical boundaries has now, by the venue of internet connectivity, expanded exponentially into a global society. And now the whole world can connect. And it's getting more and more intricate. And by that venue, and by God allowing the vices of satanic forces, the world is returning to the Tower of Babel, where that the whole world has the same goal, and that is to defy God. In that way, wokeism is its own faith. Faith in man replacing faith in God. Let me give it to us another way. Wokeism of the current society and terminology in which it's used is a religion that removes God and inserts man. It is defiant of all that God has determined and allowed in human humanity concerning sociality, sexuality, gender specifics, marital absolutes, authority structures, work ethics, and the list goes on. And it takes those laws and rejects God's laws and sits them in his place. Sits them where God's moral absolutes sit. See, we have normally believed that the moral compass and the foundations of America and this nation began to spiral downhill when religion was taken out of the school system. But while that has many aspects, it's true, religion was not taken out of the schools. The religion and morals of God were ousted and replaced with humanism. Now keep in mind, the world we live in likes to repackage and re-identify the same old thing. Wokeism is just neo-humanism. Man-God replacing holy God. There's another thing we need to know, that we live in a pretty small world and we think everything's like America. It's not. This humanistic wokeism and anti-God forces in other advanced countries in Europe and other parts of the world have far advanced what has happened in America. So if we think that the breakdown in America is severe, it is. The European and other advanced societies are already miles ahead. I believe that since the United States of America, it was not founded on God, but it was founded on godly principles, God has allowed it to hold back that sum. But that is now in its twilight, or maybe twilight's already gone. That's the days we live in. And I had a brother who said to me, Ed, when we preach like that, it makes me uneasy because I really want my children to have a good life. What am I supposed to do about that? I want my children to have a good life too. But maybe something has already happened to me. I need to hurry on. Wokeism is neo-humanism. Let's just move along here fast. If you want to know what humanism is, you can go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, and it says, Thou art worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Humanism says, all things were created for the pleasure of man. Now, God wants man to have some pleasure and to appreciate things, but that is a reversal. All things are created for the glory of God, not for the pleasure of man. Wokeism is a slang term. It's ironic that it began about 75 years ago by a rock star singer of color. It has a U.S. slang meaning aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues, especially issues of racial and social justice. But it has not stayed there. What it means has evolved and grown immensely. It began back in the slave era when the black community preserved their mental fortitude by reminding themselves that I'm woke, I know what's happening. But in the fall era and the years, it has evolved And along that way, the black community rock star coined this music into this world, and plays up as recent as 1975 and 1972 had plays in it like this. Garvey Lives, playwright Barry Beckman wrote, "I've been sleeping all my life, and now that Mr. Garvey done woke me up, I'm gonna stay woke." Now that whole package stayed dormant until about mid-2000s, and I'm making some approximates here, when a number of situations that involved black murders took place and judges ruled in the favor of what seemed to be black injustice, and this whole thing took off. And of course, most of us here remember the Floyd Davis situation there in Michigan, and the floodgates of this racial injustice, which began all the way back in slavery, it erupted and it advanced until we have not just racial injustice and social injustice, but it has become a whole package of humanistic, whatever man wants to put in there that reverses God, you can put in there. This is why if you Google it, you won't find the same man telling you the same thing about what it is, because it's anything that any insurrectionist rebel, an anti-God man wants to put in there. And you're seeing it work out in our society. And this whole thing unfurled and unleashed into an infernal, sweeping social fire, which includes almost any kind of supposed or real oppression of race, social subcultures, economic equality, gender identification, etc., etc., etc. And its current usage has now become a political weapon. Both political sides, both the far right and the far left, and in between, use it to insult each other. And so, years ago, you got out guns and shot your enemy. Today, you use social political warfare. And wokeism, humanism, whatever you want to call it, anti-God concepts are using it as political weapons. It means it's a grammar error of "I'm awake." I'm woke. It's like a child that uses the tenses wrong. See? I'm woke. That is, I understand what's going on. And I'm woke to the real truth. Because I've discovered that what I thought was the truth is actually the opposite, and I'm woke. And now I know what I didn't know. And what has always been accepted as generational morals is not really truth at all. Something else besides the established norms which come from the morals of God is the real truth. Like Rip Van Winkle, who slept for many years and finally got awake, and it was different than when he went sleeping. I woke! And so my hashtags and my social posts, I'm woke. It's grammar error for "I'm awakened to a new paradigm." You know what a paradigm is? A whole new way of thinking. And what was is false, and what I'm awakened to is the real. Good, evil, and evil, good. And now I have a whole new paradigm shift. What I thought was wrong now in this new thinking is really the right. And what I thought previously was the truth was not the truth, and what I'm woke to is the real truth. And now I really know what's going on. I was hoodwinked, but now I'm woke. I'm awakened to the real reality because I'm woke. I'm woke. And if you disagree, you are belligerent, arrogant, a white supremacist, a hate adherent, and a bigot, and etc. Just a couple here. Critical race theory lays right at the bottom of it. It's a loosely organized thought process and legal analysis based on the premise that races are not really natural. There really are no races. Races come from oppression of different people groups, and that is what makes races. There really are no races. It's social injustice or the oppressed, oppressors oppressing the subgroup, which creates races. And that man have created races by social rejections of one another. That is what has produced subcultures, and oppression of other races have occurred. And there really is no different races. Well, there's a huge measure of truth in that. The Bible reads, we are of one blood, and all nations have the same blood. If a black bleeds and a white bleeds, or a Chinese bleeds, the blood is the same color, right? But that does not negate the truth that God did really, for whatever reason, I can't explain it all, he did. There's far too much for us here to unpack. But this critical race theory lies right down at the bottom, but it didn't stay there. Into this mix of evil and anti-God came social promiscuity, sexual promiscuity, economic promiscuity, governmental promiscuity, gender promiscuity, and the list goes on. This has ballooned into insurrection against God and a defiant in the face of God against God's established orders, and it seeks to replace the morality of God with the reasoning and selfish ideologies of mankind and so forth. A new world Babylon order. We don't have time, but there's a World Economic Forum, there's the EU Parliament, look it up, finished just in time for the 2020 pandemic. It is patterned publicly and openly and defiantly after the Tower of Babel, with a woman riding the beast in its entryway, and it is defiantly and openly and publicly anti-God and the new world order and Tower of Babel, the EU Parliament. Cancel culture. Now we're into the tech world. If you say something that is not socially accepted, Mr. Zuckerberg cuts you off, or whatever great man of the earth you want to put in there. The name just came out there. So forth. Tech giants and the great men of the earth who control these things are bearing control on the people of the world in preparation for the defiant one who will set himself in the temple of God as God. B.C., I thought and preached that it was naive and that it was conspiracy. But the truth is, there are men sitting in your world discussing how to take the world into its control. It's not a secret. It's not conspiracy theory. There are conspiracy theories, but this is not conspiracy theory. There are the great men and the rich men of this world who are planning itself. And then there's the Great Reset. You know about that. To have a complete shift in the ways of thinking, scientific normality, morals, and financial establishments, all in an effort to be God and a God, and every imagination of the heart is utterly evil continually. Wokeism is upside down morals that stand in direct opposition to the orders of God for society and righteousness and justice. And there are in this God no absolutes, because absolutes destroy God's plan, man's plans. And this global communal darkness and shadow is mesmerizing the world, and it is completing an agenda for entire world orders, funded by greed, covetousness, power, and control over others. Now, I need to say something here to be clear. We need to have a proper understanding of the two kingdoms. Here's why. It is the church's responsibility to bring equality. But it is not the role of this world's governments to bring equality. Their role, Romans chapter 13 says, that they are to be ministers of God for righteousness. A whole package there. It is the church's role, but it is not the world's roles. And here is where, if we do not have a proper understanding, and if we buy into the podcast preaching and teaching of the Protestant God and country world, we're going to be confused. Be careful. Now, we don't want to be deceived, but I'd like to wind this together a little bit, unpack some things there. But you need to know that wokeism and humanism has now saturated at least 50%, somewhere over 50% of voting age population in the United States. The saturation point of beliefs in these anti-God sentiments, and you have all these isms, and you have all of this gender issues such as LGBTQ. And those people are standing at the top, right at the top echelon of government agencies. They are. And there they sit. The saturation point is somewhere over 50%. And it's growing. When I was your age, I heard preachers talking about what would it be like, what's it going to be like when this age of rebels, which were these youngsters, grow up, what's it going to be like? We're there. Don't expect it not to grow. It has permeated the high levels of American society. That's the picture so far. But what of the church? The saturation point is growing. Has it influenced the nominal church? Yes. Has it influenced the conservative church? I don't know the answers. The easy answer is to believe that it's out there and it's probably something that's happening out there and not affecting us. However, we know that false teaching and false doctrines have always, always attacked the true church of Jesus Christ. And this cannot be any different. Here is one influence that I'll give you. Every time I speak words like this, there's a murmur comes from some corner and some region. And it says, Edwin, chill it and calm down. There's always been these sins in the world. Rome was corrupt, and I almost always hear that. I almost always hear that these perversions and this darkness has always been so. The Romans were corrupt. But the Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And Peter writes, I write unto you, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord Jesus, knowing this first, that there shall come scoffers in the last days, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of the coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, everything is continuing as it was. Everything is not continuing as it was. It's getting worse and worse, not better and better. Now, I may die, and you young men may say, Edwin, you missed it. But I did it, because God said it. And so we have this unholy acceptance and emphasis. Do not say it's not getting worse. It is true that in societies of the past, all of these things were in some form or nature present. That is true. But the global insurrection as a whole package is growing more and more and more. One of the things that is a key issue of the woke movement is that it is wrong to shame another person. One of the reasons is because since there are no absolutes, and since I'm gay and you're not, you cannot shame me for my sexual identity. And then you have all the kinds of things going on there. You have this business that's being taught in the schools of transgenderism, and it's a huge package. But my point is, you can't shame other people because all men are equal. Well, there's a whole lot of truth in that. Here is one of the influences that I think I hear rumbling in our churches sometimes. If you expose sin, some teach, you shame them and send them into hypocritical lifestyles. Now, it is true that if the purpose of exposing sin is to take control and shame somebody for that purpose, that would be sin. But that does not negate the truth that exposing sin is a duty of a Christian. And when sin is exposed, it produces shame. I don't know how much to say here, but sin does bring shame. Repentance and forgiveness cast into the sea of God's grace and mercy take it away. But the key, one of the key voices of wokeism is that shame is unacceptable behavior. And since there are no absolutes, and since all morality, if there is a measure of morality, deems that no morality stands above or over another, to cast shame is a misdeed. And I'm hearing some rumblings now that sin is a journey. Sin is a journey. Bondage is a journey. But we may not repackage the shame of sin. Sin is sin. It is a journey. There's a whole package there I want you to think about. There's another one that's chipping away, I hear sometimes, and that is the championing of diversity. Yes, there will be diversity among even the holiest of men. Diversity comes from the gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans 12. Unity is the Holy Spirit that takes those gifts of diversity and unites them into the glorious body of Christ. But championing diversity is a reversal of Holy Spirit unity. And it's concerning when diversity is championed as true unity. That's concerning. See, oneness of these gifts is the focus, not diversity. If we listen close enough, I am concerned that we have championed diversity and the advantages of diversity. There will be diversity, but unity is diversity channeled together. It's not the same thing. It's a flip. I don't know if we're being influenced by wokeism, but we might be. And then there's another one I might mention. It's the unholy peer pressure to be politically, socially, racially, and economically correct. It's in things like this. I have noticed in my CLP work, I'm not criticizing, but I'm willing to say it. I have noticed when our artists produce certain books, we are oversensitive that we make sure that we get a Chinese on the front. Why? When men are developing a website for your business, I think that they are quite concerned that they make sure that there is nothing politically, racially, socially incorrect. Why? Because it might be offensive and deter potential customers. Now, is that wrong? What do you think? It might be. I'm not saying it is. It might be. It depends. From where is the influence? then should we blatantly defy wokeism? What do you think? We'll have to let God examine our motives. Sometimes the answer may be yes, and sometimes the answer may be no. But economics should not be the defining factor. Something else must be. I'm going to close. I've given a whole bunch of pieces, and I think I've allowed some missing gaps. But what you got going on in the society, slavery is wrong, but it grew and grew and grew. Oppressors and the oppressed, and sinners, and prejudices, and evil, and perversions, all have now become one big infernal flame of political warfare. You see, what I don't know is, and what you don't know is, that same humanism, which is against God, might next year be renamed something else. In fact, I think, with my ear to the ground, maybe it's just because other issues have come forward, but I think that it's sort of muting. Wokeism. But it's as alive as ever, and behind it is the darkness of Satan, who will come and set up his kingdom, and he will be the ruler and the Lord, and God will take him down. That'll be the Lord's day. That'll be the great reset. That's what I'm looking for. The great reset is just a slang hip word. The Bible says, looking for your... What's it say? The blessed hope.